So, life groups, right? I'm going to rub my hair off my head again. Well, I'll probably get yelled at for that, but one of the things that's one of the side effects of this explosion that's happened here this year has been that we've lost a little bit of the intimacy that we had before. No, we've lost a lot of the intimacy that we had before because we're not the same body that we were before. This is a new body. Some of us are the same people, but we have a new way of relating to one another, a new way of relating to God and our own relationships. And so overall, some of our main ways of keeping glued together, which were our life groups, kind of went by the wayside. Thank you so much that you're willing to, be a part of bringing it out. Now, our life groups now are going to be similar to they were before because, they're going to be groups of people who are, committed to God and to God's people. And if nothing else, that's what I want to make sure that that I let you know that I appreciate in each one of you that you have a call on you and you recognize it to build relationships. That God is a God of relationships. He's a personal, intimate God, and our relationship with Him is on that level, and that's what we're going to be building here also. So our goal, or the reason we do life groups is to get connected. To get connected to one another, to touch God in a way that we know from our corporate worship and whatnot, we know that there's certain places in God that you can't get to by yourself. And you can't always get to those places in relationship with God by all of us facing the same way, sometimes we need to look at one another. We need to look at one another. We need to look one another in the eye. And when we see hurt or we see joy, we need to name it and share it, and make it more real by our common testimony, about it. There's a potential that that God has invested in every person that's called to this house. Again, that may not be fully realized without some sharpening, right? Just as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another, and that's, again, that's something that really requires time spent together and an intentional, I'll leave that there. So, we want to bring each person to their full potential, and that requires a challenge. Challenge requires relationship, right? Because if I just walk up to Joe Blow off the street and say, "You can do better than that," or some such thing or whatever, or "How come you're if I call you on something I see," if we don't have relationship, it's rejected. It's simply not effective. It could be a lot of things, but it's simply not effective at building, the brother or sister up. And we want to be effective. I don't know why I even write stuff down. I never pay attention to it once I start. I think that Leon suggested that life group leaders, that we have a curriculum and that they get as much as 12 or 13 weeks of training. You're going to get a little under 40 minutes.
fast tracking us, huh?
All right. But having said that, this isn't all, and this won't be the end of it either. As I've just kind of just thought about this fast track overall, because we want to restore this function in the house. You know, we want to get these groups going, and I think it's more important to get us together and just get us face to face and getting us knee deep in one another's lives than it is to get it all exactly right off the bat. But it is important that we do have a common vision for what we're doing. So down the line, I'm making this up on the spot, but I'm thinking sometime, you know, this winter, I'm seeing like 4 sessions, you know, to cover some core areas, because you're just the beginning. You know, if you think about how many people we have here in the house, this is nowhere near, you know, enough life groups to get, you know, a reasonable percentage of people. You know, so we're gonna need many more. I guess that's also a warning or a suggestion that you keep your eyes out for likely candidates. You know, people that clearly have, like yourselves, have a desire to see people improve their relationships with one another to the glory of God, and that they have just like yourselves, that you have a certain quality or ability to, you know, to draw people together and to draw something out of people. This isn't a surprise to you either. As I'll call you all leaders, even though I know some of you really are just, you know, see yourselves as hosts, you know, and you'd like to provide a place, and that you know that that's your, you know, your gifting is hospitality or whatever. Nevertheless, you're all leaders in this area, you know, and even those of you who, you know, are only thinking that, you know, well, I'll just, you know, I'll have it in my house and I'll have somebody else that knows what they're doing come in and run the thing, you know. But, you know, the fact is that you've stepped forward, each one of you, and that, you know, sometimes I think the number is you know, I was going to say it's 80% of everything that God needs, but, you know, sometimes I think that it's like 95% of all that God needs in order to use you, is that you simply step up and just say, yeah, okay, I'll do it. No idea what I'm doing. He goes, oh, good, I don't have to unlearn you from all that other stuff. So, yeah. This is the first level and the most meaningful level of pastoral care in the house. This is where it happens. You know, we have some pastors and that care deeply about everybody here, but, you know, there's only so many ears, so many, you know, so many hours, so many whatever. This is the level where you'll actually share one another's lives, and you have an opportunity to get the word of life into that situation. Let's be clear, you also have an opportunity to get words of death into that situation. Oh gosh, you poor thing. Oh, I can't believe he did that to you. Right? You know, you have an opportunity. And that's one reason why I think it's important that we spend at least a few minutes just being clear about a common vision. And the common vision largely is, that's it. We want to get the word of life into lives so that, you know, they can be lived purposefully to the glory of God. You know, in some cases, the need will be healing, physical, emotional, spiritual. In some cases, the need will be, you know, redirection. You know, some of us need to be rebuked. Some of us need to have our behaviors and our attitudes named for what they are and said, look, that's not acceptable. You know, this is not in line with your stated goal of honoring God with your life? You know, some of us need to hear that sometimes. Maybe all of us do sometimes. I'm not sure. Again, these things can only be received in relationship. There's an investment that's required to get there. So when I say that, you know, it's the layer of first layer of pastoral care, like I said, I'm not talking about, you know, as we say, you know, making them to lie down in green pastures. This isn't, you know, we have those revival services where we get all fired up and then we go and just lie down here. No, this is how we take our encounter with God in the revival and we turn it into a difference in our life in the world. Because if it ain't that, you know, if we're not if we're not changing people's lives, then it's really just some kind of self-satisfying, gosh, that really felt good tonight. You know, and you know that that ain't the purpose, right? So I want to say specifically that this is a wonderful opportunity, and I want to, I want to make it clear to get the voice of women into pastoral care here. That it's an opportunity for women to use their unique perspective and their unique giftings to pour it into specific lives to make a difference. You have a voice that I don't have. You have a sensitivity that I don't have, and that's missing. So this is our opportunity, first level, to get it out there. So I just want to, what do I want to do? I guess for each of you, specifically you women, this is a commission to you. You know, I'm commissioning you as ministers of the gospel and to be dedicated to finding what it is that you can do specifically. And it's a challenge, you know, to rise to that, to not wait for somebody else. Don't wait for another voice. It's your voice that somebody needs to hear. It's not, you know, well, you know, I'll just, you know, and this person that knows what they're doing. Guess what? None of us know what we're doing. You know, this is not a surprise to you. Okay, talk about communication. There's yeah. You know what? I'm stalling for 2 minutes. So my favorite way to stall is in the scripture. So. I was blessed this morning in Thessalonians about what it is, you know, what it is we do here. Chapter 5, verse 11. It's therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. See, you need a yardstick. You know, how do I know if I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing? Chapter 14, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, so here we go. Admonish the unruly. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. And see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. And always seek after that which is good for one another and all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Don't quench the Spirit. And don't despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Do we understand that that's something that we can do head-to-head together very carefully? You know, it was the Bereans who who examined these things carefully every day to see if they were true. Not necessarily each Berean together. They had a resolve. So,
that we are trying to encourage and build relationships, there are different ways to run a home group and to not maybe run a home group. And there's issues that come up in home groups. So they're going to add a special flavor to this.
Good morning. Come on in, everyone. Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone today?
Good. Okay, thanks. Here's some chairs. Excuse me.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome. I am your host, Rita Bible, and welcome to the program, What Not to Do While Hosting a Home Group. All right, yay! Someone to come up here and help me out. And we picked out a name, and our first guest to come up is Anita Traylor. Come on now, Anita Traylor. Give it up for Anita, everybody. Well, you see, how this is going to work, Anita, I'm going to show you a situation of an ongoing home group that's happening right now. And, you know, it's not exactly what we'd hope we want it to be. So you're going to just go, to whatever you see it's going wrong. Okay. And then it's going to correct itself. You understand?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so the first situation is going on right now. Let's check it out.
All right, guys, welcome. I got some refreshments here.
Ooh, donuts. Thank you.
Yeah, I thought we'd start with the Gospels. So we'll go right to Matthew and then... Yeah, anyways, we'll go to Matthew first.
Oh, man, what was happening here?
They totally ignored that new person that walked in.
Oh, man, that's totally right. All right, well, let's see what happens when they fix it.
Yeah, so like I said, I thought we should start in Matthew, and we'll just read right through that, and we'll look at some
of Hi, I just thought maybe...
Oh, hi, I'm Amber.
Hi,
nice to meet you.
Hi, Ashley. Nice to meet you.
And I'm Dan.
All right, that was awesome. So what did you see there?
They were friendly and welcoming to the new person.
You're so right. Okay, that was awesome. And it's really important that we make sure to welcome all the new people, especially if they're new to the church. Okay, so let's see the second situation.
Yeah, so did you guys hear about that new guy in church? He's already an usher?
Yeah, he got saved yesterday.
Wait, you mean the guy Grace brought?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got saved yesterday, now he's an usher.
I can't believe it. I don't know why they even let him do it.
It's so, I don't know what he's doing.
I'm that guy.
Oh, man! So what was going on there?
They were totally gossiping about the guy that got saved, and they weren't happy that he was helping in the church.
Oh, yeah, that's totally right. All right, let's see what happens when they do it right.
Hey, so did you hear about that guy? He's like brand new, he's already helping out the church.
I know, that's
yeah,
so awesome.
He just got saved yesterday, isn't that awesome?
That's really cool, it's really incredible.
Yeah.
That's
me. Oh, awesome. So what did we see there?
They were encouraging him to help into the church because he's new.
That's right. All right, we have one last situation. So let's see what's going on here.
Get your burgers.
I'll have a hot dog, please. Yeah, me too.
Sorry. I said burgers, but sure.
Yeah, it was a great idea to have a barbecue for the home group.
Yeah,
Thanks, Anita. That's our show. Thanks, everyone. Sure.
Continue on.
No, I thought you should just, I think you should just. Yeah. Okay, well, all right. The structure, so to speak, for lack of a better term or whatever, we know that one of the most important things that we can put in place right from the get-go is a reliable means of communication in both ways. So when we talk about structure, that's really what we're talking about there, is how are we going to communicate with one another? One thing we want to do is make sure that we know who is attending your life group on an ongoing basis. So that's one piece of information that you're going to provide on an ongoing basis. And, of course, the reasons for that are clear. It's because we want to know who's not participating so that we can seek out, you know, so we can encourage, we can find out, is there, do we need a different group, a different focus? Do we need, you know, a different geographical area? Is there no time good? Is it someone, you know, are they people that just simply need to be encouraged and you know, basically gently brought in? Just as Susan you know, illustrated, you know, she had no experience with life groups and wasn't really, you might have, like, kind of been sort of, like, sick the first two or three times. Oh, I can't go tonight. You know, whatever. But some people just need to be, you know, brought in, and then we have an opportunity, once we have them there, to welcome them, as these guys so aptly illustrated here, to welcome them and just draw them in and show value. Because we know that we only, you know, we only go and go places and do things and whatever where we perceive that there's value. You know, so our job is to, you know, to give, you know, to add value to the whole situation. So some of you have been around this block so many times, you could teach all of us. But some of you, and both you and those who are leaders who are to come, have never done this before and are just in faith saying, yeah, sure, I'll try. And you need to know that somebody's got your back. You know, you need to know that somebody's there to help you out with a situation that just came up where, and I'm sorry, our church is full of actual real live people. And actual real live people do things like all these things that were displayed here. We tend to gather in cliques, you know, which are, it's, you know, cliques are these dangerous things that look inclusive, but they're actually exclusive, you know. So, you may have a situation where you have a stubborn situation there that you can't do. People in, I know they don't do this in your church, but in my church, people still gossip. And it's your job to, you know, just, you got to shut it down.
That's right.
In love. there's the rub, eh? You know, it's easy, you know, it's easy to be rude. Well, it's easy for me to be rude anyhow. You guys are way nicer than I am. But it's not so easy to do it in love. So, you know, it's another situation where you need, you may have people that just plain don't get along with each other. But for you know, for reasons, you know, your perception of the situation is that this is something that needs to be worked through because there really are some people that will build each other up. You know, because obviously when people don't get along with each other, the first thing that we tend to do, well, we'll just separate them. We'll just, you know, you go over there and you go over there, because that's what we all do, right? When a situation comes up, oh, I ain't going there anymore. You know, I'm out of there, right? So, but our God is a God of reconciliation.
Amen.
You know, so that's our role there. So again, many of you are all of you are able, you know, and many of you are quite talented there. But I want to ensure you, I want you to be confident that somebody's got your back, that you have an instant means of communication, that somebody will come and help you in any situation that comes up. So some of the things are organizational, you know, that you may need help with, or pastoral or interpersonal. And in the same sense, the communication goes in the other direction with you know, regular reporting on, which we'll make easy. I promise we'll make it so easy on who's there. So it looks like this. I didn't take the course like Vaughn did, so I can't, you know, draw this. But here's Susan and I. All right. And so we'll call this the main pastoral, you know, oversight of this group here. And this, you know, meets with the, you know, so we get input from the whole pastoral team. We're going to have, because we're going to have 30, 40, 50 life groups, right? You know, we're starting here. You know, we're going to have, looks like we may have 10. You know, we may have as many as 10. And that's awesome. But you know, just as we need to have leaders, you know, to the tune of, you know, 4 or 5 you know, one leader for every 4 or 5 people. In the same sense, we need that many home groups. So we're going to have, you know, that many groups. So there will be, let's see, life group coordinators. Group coordinators. Okay? And ignore the spelling. And, you know, and each of them will relate, you know, somewhat more intimately with 3, 4, whatever is manageable, individual groups, or specifically individual group leaders. You know, GL, group leaders. There, that's pretty official, huh? I think I can get a job in big business now. All right, so this is the important piece. Here's the important piece, is that all these arrows go both ways. All right. So what that'll look like is, as leaders, you will send, and I'll whip up some kind of format that makes sense. But an email, all right? I hope, you know, hopefully that sheet made it around and all of you got your emails on there. You know, including any of you that may not have signed up, but you're in here just because, you know, God bless you, you're interested and you'd like to, you know, you think you're interested, fine. Get your contact information on there. It's the email is the best, well, at least at this point, it's the easiest way to do it. So basically it'll be a drop a line, you know, once a week or once whenever you meet, and that's about all it'll take. Your life group coordinator will keep in touch with you, will rotate around and attend your groups, you know, within there. So that face-to-face, you can, you know, he or she can provide, you know, input, encouragement. Sure, doing a great job, you know. And by the same token, Susan and I will go around and visit all groups, all the times. That probably means we don't You know, so everybody's life group will be our life group, which I guess will be a good thing. Because that's the other thing I wanted to say is you guys, your ideas for your life groups are great. We want to be in all of them, except for I want to be in all of them all the time, and I can't really do that. But you're clearly have a vision for specific ways that you can build the body, you know, and it's great because, you know, some of there's a book club. There's some with just meals and socializing. There's Bible studies, structured Bible studies. Some that are just we're gonna let the Spirit move and go with it. That's the idea, is that there needs to be something for everybody, and there also needs to be enough room for us to, just as we do in every other area in this church, people need to change seats on the bus every now and then, you know? So I've been going to a Bible study for the last 10 weeks or even 20 weeks. I've done two or three or whatever, but now I need to go, I'm going to go to Steve's life group because I just want to worship God, and I want to, you know, move in the in the power of God, and I just want to experience that. And another time, not me personally, but someone else may need to go to a ladies group, you know, because they just need, you know, some support in that particular area. I could do that. Yeah, really.
So we'll be working with her, and then as we grow and we see how many life groups we have, we'll be looking, you know, to add, another life group coordinator or so. We'll just start out that way initially. So this is the Leon model. Leon has been really helpful. We've consulted with him, and we're due for another consultation soon with him. He's such a busy man. But this is how he does life groups.
That's if he's talking to us after he finds out we shorten it from 13 weeks to 40 minutes. I bet he is. So if this would be the last thing. If I did have more time, and when we do have slightly more filled out training, one of those sessions would be about listening. It's the single most important thing that you will do. And it doesn't, generally speaking, it doesn't happen. We're not natural listeners. Generally speaking, left to our own devices, we could give two hoots about your problems. I want to tell you about my problems. I want to tell you about my joys, my dentist appointment, whatever. So, a lot of you in this room, one way or another, I've had time to, you know, you've to counsel with you or just sit and talk or whatever. And I think in many cases it was helpful to you, for which I thank God. It's because I'm a good listener. And I know that. I mean, that's not, it's clearly not prideful or anything like that. I know that I am, because I was trained, and I paid attention, and I learned. Listening is a skill that can be taught and can be learned, and it can be improved on. I know I don't have enough here, but I have a handout here. I'm gonna just hand them around. There's only 12 there, so I'll make more. But the handout in itself really isn't it. Well, what the handout is it goes with a talk that we do in Kairos, which is a prison ministry, and we specifically attempt to train the residents in how to listen, because for this very reason, because the main purpose of our Kairos ministry, and this isn't a Kairos ad, but it is to build up something very much analogous to life groups within the facility. In other words, we are trying to teach them how to minister to one another, because we go home. They don't. All right. Here, well, you go home, and other people come to your home. But in order to minister effectively to one another, we really need to, in every sense, you know, learn how to do this. So that handout is, I'm not even going to go into it much. So, but if you just read through it on your own time, and recognize that that's like the highlight film that's meant to reinforce the points that you would have learned had we not had a 40-minute training. What's some of the most important things? Eye contact. Tell me you don't know, if you're talking to somebody, tell me you don't know in 4 milliseconds if they're listening to you or not. Right? Right. I mean, or even just, you know, it's eye contact. It's saying back to them what you think you heard. It shows that, first of all, that you were listening, and it corrects mistakes in understanding early. You know, and it built a platform for further discussion on it. There's a piece at the end, I think, I don't even have one of the things, but there's a piece at the end, I think, about pitfalls to avoid, right? Me too-ism. Oh, yeah, that happened to me, too. Yeah, that Rat Fink, yeah, he did it to me, too, right? Moralizing, preaching, being judgmental. People, generally speaking, are not initially looking for answers. I mean, they're looking for answers, but you know what? You don't have it. God's got the answer. All we really can do is just guide them to be in a state of mind and a spiritual state of receptiveness to be able to receive the answer. All right? So you're an important piece of the road to the answer, but you're not the answer. And you're really smart. I know you're all really smart people, but you don't have the answer. So that's where, you know, giving advice, you know, trying to fix it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't, you know, suggest, you know, we want to put the word of life out there. Cheap consolation. Oh, that's not so bad. You've seen what happened to me. You think that's bad? You know, arguing with the speaker, you know, and I don't even know if this is on here, but don't ever, you know, you don't get into a theological discussion about, you know, is that exactly what God did? You know, because the word specifically says that that's, you know, we don't want to get into the finer points of this and that. Oh, really? Do you think that, you know, analyzing or interpreting, which is not the same as reflecting. You know, there's a difference between... There's a difference between, I think what I'm hearing you say is, you know, whatever, and, you know, that must be really hard, you know, and analyzing it. Oh, you know what? You must have had a really awful relationship with your father. You know, that's there's two different things there. There one, you know, one is useful and the other is poisonous. All right, we'll wrap it up. We want to. The reason I tell you all this stuff is because you're the leaders. You know, you're not just you're not just this. It's not as simple as I'm just saying, okay, Lord, and you know, I'll show up and you know, go ahead, do your thing, Lord. You know, it's an intentional thing. You know, you're really in there. Stretch yourselves. I have no idea what to do in this. You know, edify you, you know, allow the Lord to edify you. So intentional encouragement, not poisonous gossiping. You'll see them both. I'm sorry, it's going to happen. You know, be ready for it. Authority, not rebellion, which is exactly the same as submission, not selfishness. Reconciliation, not divisiveness. The healer, not the sickness. We don't talk about, we don't focus on the problem. Remember, we worship what we pay attention to. So let's not worship the problems. Let's not worship the problems and just say, oh, really? What did the doctor say? Oh, and he gave you how long? To the extent that these things are a piece of showing compassion and understanding of the situation, fine. But we don't worship the sickness. We worship the healer. You know, so bring those words into the situation. You know, he's the Lord God who heals you. We want to be positive, not negative. That sounds, you know, simple, but that's really one of those things. If you just keep that in there, positive, not negative. Yes, not no. We're not looking at the, we're looking at the, All right? And the whole purpose of is that both you and all those who come to be with you need to be growing, not dying. If there's a third choice, I don't know what it is. Right? Father God, I thank you so much for these brothers and sisters. I thank you for their resolve, Lord, and I thank you for their willingness to just step out and be used by you. But in the name of Jesus, I thank you for imparting to them now both a confidence and a clarity of vision and insight beyond their own, Lord. Bless them. Bless their homes, Lord. As they open their doors to let people in their homes, Lord, I ask that you would bless their homes, bless their finances, bless their families in every way, Lord. Just rain it down. Rain it down in proportion with the same degree that they give of themselves to you, Lord. Just pour it out on them by the measure of your generosity, not ours. Thanks, Lord. We commit this whole enterprise to you, and we know that that's exactly the right place to have it. We have every confidence in you, just as I have confidence in these brothers and sisters. And we thank you for it, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.